we've been studying Ecclesiastes here on Wednesday night, and we come across this verse the other night. It's been on my mind ever since. And so I'm going to preach a message today here from the Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And you'll look at verse number 19, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 19. And we'll look here at this verse of Scripture this morning. This morning, I'm going to preach a message about what... I've got a ring here, brother. About what the Bible says about money. What the Bible says about money. Now, the Christian ought to take what the Bible says as the final authority on any subject. Doesn't matter what it is. You want to turn me down or something? It doesn't matter what the subject is. The Bible is the final authority as far as a Christian is concerned. It doesn't matter about your home, relationship, life, anything. So it stands as a matter of fact that we should take what the Bible says about money. Now, it's not what you're thinking. When a preacher says he's going to preach about money, most of the time you say, "Oh, Lord, here we go. This preacher is going to ask us to give money." That's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to ask you for a dime. I'm going to talk to you about what the Bible says about money. I've preached about one sermon on giving money, or two, since our church started in 8 years. I can't stand here, preacher, and every time he gets up, all he's talking about wanting you to give. I'm not asking you to give anything this morning. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about your money that's in your pocket right now and mine. So look here what the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 19. A feast is made for laughter. You're going to have a good time. Wine maketh merry. You're going to have a big time celebration. But money answereth all things. Now that's where the old saying comes from, money talks. Right there in that verse of Scripture. What a subject. Over 138 times in the Bible mentions money. As a matter of fact, money is such an influence on our lives that some call it the almighty dollar. It's sad to say that many people this morning, they live their entire life just for money. You've heard people say when they wake up, dollar signs in their eyes. That's so true with a lot of people. From the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, they think of nothing else but money, more money, and more money. That is not the place that God wants it to have in our lives. Somebody said this. I'll read you this and then bring you the message. You listen? Dug from the mountainside or washed in the glen. Servant am I or master of men. Earn me, I bless you. Steal me, I curse you. Grasp me and hold me and evil shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me. Covet me, take me. Angel or devil, I'm just what you make of me. I want to, somebody give me a dollar bill or something here just a second. And mine's up there in the car. No, it ain't. There's not a person in here, but if I took this in here this morning and I pulled that out and I laid it down on the floor, that gives you a certain feeling. It's just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper. But that's like no other piece of paper. You see another piece of paper laying on the floor, you just walk right by. If you see a dollar laying on the floor, you go, whoa. Don't it make you feel like, oh my goodness. Sorry. There's just something about that right there that gets a hold of us. And so let's talk about it this morning and get it right from what the Bible says about money. Again, this is not a giving sermon. I'm not even going to ask you. It's not even about tithing or anything like that, although I believe in that. That's scriptural. But it's about what the Bible says about money. I want to say three things about money this morning, and then we'll go. Number one, I'm going to talk about the language of money. The Bible says that money talks. Second, I'm going to talk about the love of money. The Bible talks about that. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the limitations of money. Those three things are a complete Bible lesson on money. First of all, the language of money. The Bible said here that money answereth all things. Somebody said, money talks. And the man said, yeah, mine does. It says bye-bye. As soon as you get a hold of it, it's gone. That's true. I've heard it say that a lot of times, ain't you? And I heard somebody else say, money talks, but it don't stay around long enough to hold a conversation. And that's true also. Money talks. Sure it does. It says a lot of things. In John chapter 2 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ went in the temple that day, and the Bible said the money changers were sitting in the temple. They were making, they had doves in cages. They had stuff in there all over for sale. And it I hate to say this for a church, but it looked like a flea market. They were in there selling and buying and making merchandise in the house of God. And the Lord got upset. He said, make not, give me down just a hair, Brother Mike, you will. He said, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. I've been in a lot of churches where it felt that same way, where it's just some kind of money racket. That money told the Lord, the building was full of thieves. Here in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12, the Bible said money is a defense. They said one time it had a sign on an antique shop somewhere, and it said, English spoken, French spoken, cash understood. That's the way it goes. Money talks. Money talks. Somebody come up and they'll argue with somebody. Get out of the way. No. Get out of the way. No. Move your truck. No. Move your car. No. Pull out $100 bill. Yes. See? That money talks. You can persuade people. All kinds of things are done in this world today because somebody laid down the cash. You can lay down the cash. It says a lot. Don't you agree? Money sure does talk. Money can be a blessing if it's rightly used. The best way to use your money is invest it in something for God. You have to take care of your family. You have to pay your house payment, pay for your car, all this stuff. But I'm telling you, the best thing you can do with your money is invest it for God. I preached one time about that. And I said, instead of letting your kin folks fight over your home, put something for God in your will. And there was a man who heard me preach that morning. And he put in his will, he willed his house and property to the church. That's not a bad thing to do. That's a smart thing to do. Because when he's gone, his money, instead of his kinfolks fighting over it, or the church would be using it to put missionaries and putting gospel tracts and put all the money you'll ever be able to keep is what you invest in God's work. You're going to lose every bit of the rest of it. That's the best thing you can do with it. Buy a bus. We're needing one right now. Buy a bus and say, I can buy this bus and invest this. And every person that rides that bus that gets saved by the grace of God, it'll wind up benefiting you one day in heaven. All you get to keep is what you send ahead. All that you lose is what you keep down here. And so we are accountable to God for how we use our money. Some people spend half their life trying to get money and the other half of their life trying to keep people from getting it back from them. That's the truth. About the time you think, I'm going to retire and enjoy my money, then you have a heart attack. Or then something else happens. Or something else goes wrong. You ain't able to enjoy it. There's just something about it. The language of money. Money definitely talks. Money can't go to heaven, but money can do something heavenly here on this earth. The Bible tells us about a servant of a parable that the Lord made one time, and he said he gave this man so many talents, and this man so many talents, and this man so many talents. Now, we talk about that as like being able to play the piano. That's not what a talent meant in the Bible. It's not about singing and stuff. It was money. It was portions of money. It sure was. And when he came back, one fellow said, well, I've done this and I've gained so many talents. And the other fellow said, well, I've done this and I've gained so many talents. And the other one said, I hid the Lord's money. And the man, he wound up losing what he had because he tried to hoard it up. The worst thing you can do with money is be stingy with it. That's the worst thing you can do because really then that makes you a miser. And so, the language of money. Number two, I'm going to talk about the love of money. The love of money. Now, if you got your King James Bible, it said in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Preachers preached that for 300 years until they come out with the NIV and the New Modern Versions changed that verse of Scripture. Wonder why they would want to change that verse of Scripture in a new modern version of the Bible. The Bible, the new modern versions say the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And they say, preacher, you can't say money's the root of all evil because money didn't cause Adam and Eve to sin in the garden. It didn't say that money is the source of all sin. It said money, present tense, at the time Timothy was written, at the time Paul was a Christian. He said, right now, this present tense, money, the love of money, is the root of everything rotten in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we are living in a world that's rotten, and it's because of the love of money. You know what causes the drug trade? Money. Somebody wanting to make money. What's in the back of prostitutes? You say, all these wicked prostitutes. You know why prostitutes are out? Money. Yep. You know why rap music is being made? Money. You know why rock music is being put out records? The love of money. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble this morning because of the love of the almighty dollar. People think money will do anything. And a man who believes money will do anything for money. You listen to me? A man that believes money will do anything for money. I'll get to this a little bit later, but there's going to come a time in your life when money can't help you. There'll be a time in your life when money can't buy you out of the trouble that you're going to be in. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the biggest temptation you got as a man that makes money or a woman that makes money, and God bless you, I hope you do. I hope everybody in here becomes a millionaire and pays your tithes. I really do. I hope you all get rich. But it's very dangerous because the Bible said they that will be rich, people who want to be rich, fall into many hurtful and foolish lusts which ground men in perdition. That's what the book said. It's rare to find a man that can handle money and keep it in its right place and still put God first and honor God and do right and be honest. And it's rare to find that. But thank God it can be done. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. It is not a root of all kinds of evil. It is the root of all evil. You know why gas is so high right now? Gas is so high right now because greedy people and the CEOs and the oil companies and the sheiks and the Saudis and everybody in this world and they say, I want more money. Millions not enough. A billion's not enough. We want more. They told about one of those CEOs, one CEO from one oil company made $47 million last year. That was before the price doubled. Just one CEO. Ladies and gentlemen, when one oil man is making 50 times as much money as the President of the United States, and people can hit a baseball and make 30 times more than the President of our country, we have a definite problem with being in love with money. And as a matter of fact, people will do anything for money. They'll say, I'll do anything. I'll sell my kids. I'll sell my house. I'll sell my soul. Just let me be rich. Most kids in our public school system grow up believing that the best thing in the world could ever happen to you is to get rich. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were rich. There is nothing wrong with having a lot of money. You work hard for it and earn it honestly, have at it. Praise God. Thank the Lord for it. But I'm telling you, the love of it will get you in more trouble than you'll ever get out of it. The love of it. Let me tell you, people are not satisfied. Man gets $500,000, you know what he wants? A million. Man ever gets a million, you know what he wants? That second million. And if your heart's not right with God, that third and fourth and 50th and 60th. And then there's a lot of millionaires in the world today. And then there's some of them that are even going up to billionaires. We think of old Gates, Bill Gates, and old Sam Walton and old Walmart and people like that. They would become millionaires and then come. And I used to think well, when I was little, then somebody said, he's a millionaire, well, big deal, ain't much difference. There's a big difference in a billion and a million. They sound alike, so we put one right here and one right there. We say, he's a millionaire, well, so what, ain't that big. There's a major difference. Let me explain to you just a little bit of the difference in that. A million is 10,000. So if you had $100,000, 10 of those $100,000 is $1 million. A billion is 10 hundred million. So you have 100 million times 10. You say, well, Brother Danny, that's the same ratio as a $10 bill is to a penny. A million and a billion. A $10 bill and a penny. That's how much more. Let me put it like this. A man gave $1 million. He said, go spend $1,000 a day. He gave his wife $1 million cash. He said, you go spend $1,000 a day. She came back 3 years later. That's a good way to get rid of her for 3 years, boy. Give her $1 million. And I guarantee you they can do it too. Don't you ladies? Could you handle spending $1,000 a day? I know you can. Right? Ain't no doubt in my mind. I mean, I've seen them women, they can push them carts through them grocery stores at speeds of over $150 an hour. I mean, she came back 3 years later and spent $1,000 a day. And man, that same man gave his wife $1 billion. He said, you spend $1,000 a day. She came back 3,000 years later. There's the difference. If you had $1 million this morning right here on this pulpit and it was in $1,000 bills, if you had $1,000 bills, which I don't even know if there is such a thing as $1,000 bills, I don't know. But if it was, if you put a $1,000 bill right there and stacked $1 million on top of it, it would be this high, 8 inches. $1 million. If you took $1,000 bills and put up $1 billion, it would be over 600 feet high in the air. Higher than the Washington Monument. So $1 billion is way, way more than just $1 million. And so he says, if you stand over a hole, if a man stood over a shaft and dropped in a $20 bill every minute, 24 hours a day, every minute, 24 hours a day, it would take 95 years to drop in $1 billion. That's a lot of money. But yet, it still can't do what others say it can do. Somebody said Andrew Carnegie of Carnegie Hall, New York, said, millionaires seldom smile. Vanderbilt, the great Vanderbilt, the rich man who's responsible for the Biltmore Mansion over in Asheville, said before he died, he said, the care of $200 million is too great a load for any man to have to carry. He said, I can't carry it. That $1 million is too much worry. All I can think about is, what am I going to do with this? And where am I going to invest this? And what's that? Is that deal going to go through? And that deal going to go through? And am I going to lose over here and going to lose there? He said, I was happier when I just had a little bit than when I got all this money. It don't make you happy. Let me say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay if it works for you. If you can get your money working for you and benefit your life, thank God. But if you think money's going to make you happy, you're deceived. It'll never make you happy. Why do you think them people in Hollywood take pills, kill themselves? Why do you think they commit suicide? Why do you think they're always trying something new? Because their money don't do it. The Bible said, there's a young man in the Bible that came to Jesus. He's a rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, Luke chapter 18. And the Bible said he talked with the Lord a little bit, and he had all this money. And the Lord said, give it to the poor, come follow me. And the Bible said that boy went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. He had all this money, and yet the Bible says he was sorrowful. You know what your problem is this morning? Your problem is going to be believing the middle part of this message. You believe the first, you'll believe the last. But the part I'm on right now, some of y'all sitting there and you're saying, I don't believe it. Oh boy, if I had $1 million, I'd be happy. I know why you're thinking, because you ain't never had it. I ain't neither. And I take it, if you want to give it to me, have at it, brother. I'll try it. But I've got enough sense to know that money never made a man happy, nor yet will it. People will steal. Drugs are sold, smuggled into our country. Alcohol. You know the reason they voted in alcohol up in McDowell County the other day? Money. The love of money. That's the bottom line. War. Money. The love of money. Families are falling apart. Friends become enemies. People that used to love to be good friends now won't even speak to each other because of the love of money. And businesses go bang. Bust up marriage. That's one of the top three things that breaks up a marriage is money and the love of it. Not putting it in its proper place. People will steal, do anything. Families are busted up because of the love of money. They said one time somebody had this painting, and it's a big painting in an art gallery, and it had a gold, big gold coin rolling down a hill. And it had this man driving real fast on a horse, and he was flying in a mad rage, and others were after it, chasing that gold coin. And his wife was hanging on to the side of his horse, and he was dragging her, and she was crying and screaming. And his kids were going like that, oh, daddy. And that picture was saying, this man is leaving his wife, he's leaving his kids, he's ignoring all that's really important, he's making his family go through torment, chasing that dollar bill. I'm telling you this morning, the love of money is the root of all evil. I said, first of all, the language of money. It talks. I said, second, the love of money. Thirdly, and I'll be through this morning, the limitations of money. The limitations of money. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4, riches cannot profit in the day of wrath. That book said, brother, there'll be a day of wrath come one day, and riches will not profit. I'm scared for our country, and I'm going to say more about that in just a minute. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, up there in New York City, when the stock market crashed in 1929, they were standing in line on them buildings waiting to jump off. People that thought their money was their savior, people that thought everything that was investing money, when that stock market went crash, brother, they said those people were blowing their brains out. You know why? They thought their money would do everything, and when their money become worthless, and it had, and it will again. I'm going to say something this morning. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you the day's going to come. The day will come. I hope it's after the rapture. But the day will come when the dollar bill in this country will not buy you nothing. Because of our economy and the way things are going. This oil price is driving everything up. Our stock market's going down. We ain't even seen the results of this oil jump yet. It's just been in the last couple of months. We won't see it come in until about Christmas. And then they say it's going even more next year. I hope it don't. I hope all this happens after the rapture. I hope the Lord comes. But if He don't, y'all listen to me this morning. If the Lord don't come, everybody in this church today better get your faith in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, because there ain't no telling what we're liable to see this thing before this thing's over. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. Turn to Genesis 47. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture here in Genesis 47 here in just a minute. And if you think this can't happen again, you're got another thing coming. Here in Genesis 47, they had a bunch of famine. They had a bunch of, like, you know, the tomatoes are going down there. Our crop, it's flooding in one part of the country. It's dry in the other part of the country. I mean, they're saying that the economy, they say we're in a recession. I know we're still doing good. I'm not a prophet of gloom, but I'm going to tell you in the Bible here what happened in the good times. Look at Genesis 47, verse 24. Look at this verse of Scripture. This is going to happen again. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh. They started having to give 20%. People won't pay their tithes. You know what God will do? He'll let the taxes go up so high, it'll be more than your tithes would have been. Say amen, people! We're Bible believers. We believe under God. Some of you won't even pay your tithes, but you'll give it to Uncle Sam, brother, who's sponsoring pornography and killing babies and everything else. Brother, we ought to give God His what first too, and let's trust God to take care of us. Amen right there? Right. Now look here. Give the fifth part to Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for the seed of the field and for your food. Verse 15. And when money failed, there came a point in Egypt when money failed. Wasn't worth nothing. The German mark, they said back there in World War II and all them, they said, you know what they done with them German marks? Put wallpaper on their wall with them. You couldn't buy nothing with them. The limitations of money. There's something somebody told me the other day, in foreign trade and foreign stocks, that the American dollar is worth less and less and less every single day and week. It's not worth near as much as it used to. We don't have the gold to back it up. Just print more and more and more and more. That's what inflation is. You print a bunch of money and all it is paper. We don't even have no gold to back it up. I'm telling you, money is limited. We're brainwashed in this country. We think I can buy my way out of anything. I don't care what happens. I'll lay down enough money to get myself out of it. I'm telling you, there's some things coming in this world and in your life that your money can't get you out of. Benjamin Franklin said, money never made a man happy, nor yet can it. Instead of filling a vacuum, it creates one. And better the fear of the Lord, the Bible said, than great riches and trouble therewith. The Bible said riches make themselves wings. That's why there's an eagle on the back of that dollar. Riches make themselves wings. They fly away. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, there was a man over there who come in, and he come over there to the disciples, and he thought that he could buy the power of God. That's what he said. And he said the disciples were working miracles, and this fellow came up and he said, I'll give you some money. He said, give me this power so that I can lay hands. And you know what they told him? They said, your money perish with you, man. Your money perish with you because you thought that the blessings of God can be bought with money. I'm telling you this morning, you ain't got enough money to buy one of God's blessings. You don't have paying enough money in the United States to buy one blessing from God. His blessings ain't for sale. And tell them preachers that go around the country selling them that I said that. They don't say, send me so much money and God will bless you. Brother, you don't sell God's blessings. God's blessings are out of His goodness and out of His grace and out of His mercy. Thank God. Now listen, a poor man can have the blessings of God, not have a dime in his pocket. Limitations of money. The limitations of money. Amen. Henry Ford said, I was happier when I was doing a mechanic's job, working today and making a meager wage. In 1923, several of the world's greatest financial tycoons met in Chicago. 1923 is a long time ago. That was before the stock market fell. The young people in those days admired these people. They were the richest people in the world. Let me tell you their story. Charles Schwab was the president of the steel company. Richard Whitney was the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Albert Fall was on the president's cabinet. Jesse Livermore worked as a businessman on Wall Street. Leon Frazier, he was the president of the International Bank. Ivor Kruger was also in the stock exchange or something and was a very rich man. Several years went by and somebody went and checked up on these very same men. You want me to tell you what happened to him? Charles Schwab, the president of the steel company, died broke. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, committed suicide. Wound up in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall, Prince Cameron, went to prison. Jesse Livermore of Wall Street committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of the International Bank, committed suicide. Ivan Kruger committed suicide. About 4 out of 7. Money can't make you happy all the way. It can bless you or it can curse you depending upon your heart being right with God and how you use it. Amen? He said Grace Matalius. I don't know if you've ever heard of Grace Matalius. Years ago, she wrote a novel. And that novel was called Peyton Place. And Peyton Place became a soap opera. It became a TV series. It became a book. And it was just about a bunch of old adulterers and wicked stuff going on and everything. And she got rich. And she divorced her husband and her second husband. And then she had just her life was all a mess. And then she died drunk and died. And 25 people came to her funeral. And she died drunk. 25 people showed up at her funeral. The great millionaire Grace Matalius wrote Peyton Place. And the preacher that preached her funeral never said her name but one time in the whole message when he said, may Grace rest in peace. You know what she found out? It can buy you a car. It can buy you a house. It might buy you a bunch of people to do whatever you want to do. But when it comes time to cross that river, brother, money says, this is as far as I can go. You go by yourself. The Bible said we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we'll take nothing out. Listen to me. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we ought to put some missionaries on the field and put in them buses and put in those bus kids and put in the work of God and buy some tracts and tell somebody about Jesus. Because that's all that's going to do us any good one of these days. Amen. I heard a man who somehow, when he's getting ready to die, he is cussing and had his hand full of $100 bills like that. He didn't want his family to have it, laying on his deathbed. Just a few seconds after he died, one of his nephews just went over and went, pulled that right out of his hand, buddy, because it ain't going with you. Billy Sunday told of a man who gathered all his stocks and bonds and cash and mortgaged it into a big trunk, locked them and ordered all the fence, and brother held them out with a gun. And 2 hours later, they didn't hear no noise in there, and they went in there and found him dead in his underwear, the slope across that trunk, trying to save his money. I think somebody said there was 11 millionaires on the Titanic the night it went down. 11. I mean, that was 1912, brother. A millionaire then would be many times over now. 11 millionaires on the Titanic the night it went down. And there's people on there that didn't have a dime, old hired hands, and they went both straight down together. And one of them had $300,000 of cash and jewelry on the Titanic, and he left it laying there and picked up 3 oranges to eat, try to stay alive. I'm telling you, that the moment come when $300,000 were money and jewelry didn't mean one thing to him. And everybody in here, there will come that day when that money don't mean one thing. Not one thing. Not one thing. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says over and over and over, warning you now, this is God's Word. Bible said in Ezekiel 7, there's going to come a time when the rich man will cast their silver into the streets. Throw it down. Ain't worth nothing. Bible said in Revelation 6 and verse 15, the rich men hid themselves in the rocks and dens and cried for the mountains to fall on them. The Bible said in the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 1, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. He said your money is moth-eaten, it's corrupt, it's cankered, it ain't worth nothing. Over and over and over and over, this Bible says the day's going to come when money won't be worth nothing. You better be rich in the Lord when that day comes. So one time this man stood up. He said, I got more money. There's a bunch of rich people around. He said, I got more money than anybody in here. They said, you're crazy, man. You ain't hardly got none. He said, I got more money than anybody in here. They said, how do you figure that? He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. He said, because I got all I want. I got all I want. You know, the richest person in here is the person that's happy with what you've got. And that leaves out about 85% of y'all. Most people live miserable because I don't have this and I don't have that and I want that. And why ain't I got this? The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. The richest people in town are the ones that say, this is what God's given me and I'm happy with it. Amen. You're richer than the man that's got $100 million but going crazy because he ain't got $200 million. Amen? Y'all understand? I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart. I don't know who this is for, but this is what the Bible says about money. Thank God we can have more than money this morning. You can be rich indeed through Christ Jesus. The Bible said in Isaiah 55, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Because you better remember, the day's going to come when money will fail. Limitations.